Good morning, everyone. I have to say it is quite a blessing to me to be here with you today. The last time I spoke in a church, I had resigned from the church in Valley View, and it was a difficult time. And honestly, I was looking from the Lord to do something else, to go back to graphic design, and the Lord had me heading in a different direction. And so I'm kind of in between right now. I'm kind of looking out for the Lord, and I really want to serve him. And I know from what I've seen this morning, from the singing that you folks have shared, seeking the Lord in song together and praising him, that you want to do the same thing with your lives, that you want to praise God and serve him wholeheartedly. And so today, I'm just so thankful to the Lord to be here. To share from his word is such a blessing. If you teach in Sunday school class, or if you're working with youth or children, you know the blessing it is to be able to share from the Word of God. And so I thank God first and foremost, and then I thank you folks for allowing me to be here. And I have to be honest with you, I looked through many different messages today to share with you, and God brought me to this one. And I wasn't sure. I'm like, God, are you sure? Because these folks are going through Exodus right now. Maybe I should be in Exodus and sharing. But the Lord brought me back to this. So this message is not from Pastor Phil. This message is from the Lord, I believe, today for you. And I don't know why he wants these words for you, but I know they are from him and not from me. And I want to thank Dave this morning for praying with me, because I want to do anything that I do, especially in front of you to share from the pulpit, I want to do for the Lord and in his guidance and in his knowledge and insight. So this morning I want to talk with you about words, the words that we speak, taming the tongue. And can anyone think of a book in the Bible that might give us great knowledge and insight on the tongue? Anyone share? I know there might be some verses in your mind that come out. Go ahead. James. Which chapter in particular do you know? Yeah. You're very close. Chapter 3, and I'm going to share in a moment from that. Anyone else have a verse that come to mind? I know there are a couple hands that were up, but maybe a little shy. Ephesians, and I'm going to share a little bit, but I'm going to get most of my insight that I'm sharing today from one of the wisest men in the Bible. He wrote a book. His name is Solomon. Do you know what book that might be? Proverbs. Yeah, wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Oh, it happens to be up there. Thanks for looking at the screen. Some of you are advanced lookers and achievers. You want to know all the knowledge and insight ahead of time. So great job, and thanks for sharing. Where the Lord has me right now, I'm working with youth and children in the schools in Cedar Rapids. I'm in the high school, Washington High School. And I'm hearing all kinds of language these days. And it's very difficult at times. And one of my jobs is to say, hey, language. You know, in school, we try to teach professionalism, right? So when kids graduate from high school, they go out into the workforce, right, or off to college, and we want them to present themselves with language that is good and healthy. So I think that probably had a lot to do with me sharing a little bit today. I had a conversation with a young lady this week. I was in a study hall with another adult, and this young lady was sitting at the table, and she knows I'm a Christian, and she said, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with calling someone a donkey. Of course, she used the slang term of that title for donkey. She said, it's in the Bible, so I should be able to call them that. And of course, initially, it stunned me when she said that. And I thought, oh. And then the conversation went to, well, what was the context? Like, what was the reasoning behind you saying this? Because in the Bible, you can take words out of the Bible all the time and make them look bad or good or any way that you want. And I said, there's another verse in the Bible, Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but that which is what? Edifying and building up of others, right? That timing is super important. So I did the right thing. I said, well, there's another verse. I said, let no unwholesome words come out. And then she said, that's in the Bible too? Yeah. And the context of that is so very, very important. And I told her, I said, honestly, calling anyone any name is not good. Like those words that come out of your mouth, where do they come from, right? Your mind, some people say, the Word of God says from our heart, right? I said, so what's in your heart, you know? What's coming out? What are you showing people that who you are, like what your character is as a person? And so she had a few things to think about from then on. But what about social media? How many folks here are on social media? Facebook, Twitter, things like that. I'm not a Facebook Nazi or someone who is against, but I like social media. I think it's important. But some of the things that I've seen out on social media, posts by Christians, people that I know, post language and photos and even videos of things that certainly would not edify God or edify another person. I have a relative of mine who I unfollowed, who I clicked unfollow. I'm still their friend. I don't know if you knew you could do that on Facebook. You can still be someone's friend, but unfollow them. And the reason for doing that is I don't see all of their posts on my Facebook feed anymore, which is important because if they're using bad language in photos, I don't want my eyes to see those things. Anyone with me on that? Because it goes from my eyes and in my ears down into my heart, and then I might be inclined to use some of those words and those types of things myself. So it's very important as Christians that we guard our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. And grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. Your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, right? What do we want to feed into their spirit, into their hearts, right? Good, positive things. So what I do, and I like to share this openly, with Facebook, I the first time I see it, I give grace. I said, you know what? Let God's grace abound here. I'm just gonna let it go. But if I see it where it's a habitual thing, I see it again, a second or third time, I send them a quick message. And a lot of time they're shocked, especially if it's Pastor Phil. They say, oh, he's sending me a message. I said, oh, I just saw something on your Facebook page. I said, are you okay? Are you okay? Are things going okay? Because some of the things that I'm saying might not be the best things to post. And so I respond in a Christian and loving way, right? And I say to myself, how would Jesus respond, right? In a loving way, the best that you can. Because what happens if we respond with throwing scripture at him and hit him right between the eyes? What happens? They unfriend you. And so I try to keep that connection, that relationship with them, but also let them know that, hey, I'm following Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, hey, these are the things I should be doing, edifying and glorifying God, even with my computer, right? Even with my social media, whether it's Twitter or whatever, very important things to do. Ephesians 5:4 says this, there must not be any unclean speech or foolish talk or dirty jokes. All of them are out of place, it says. Instead, you should give thanks, right? I know there are certain situations. I spent 20 years in the military. I've heard all kinds of things. You know, and there were times, honestly, where I just turned and walked away because I didn't want to be part of conversations. Some of you might see that at work, right? Whether you're on break or, you know, at lunch or whatever, where it just need to get away. So the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our tongue and about our speech. So open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11 in particular. And with this message in particular, I'm going to be hopping around a little bit, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9 is where I'm going to be at. Proverbs 11, verse 9 and verse 11. And I'm going to be to James chapter 3 in a little bit as well. Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, with their mouths the godless destroy their neighbors. Not exactly perfect outreach, is it? Right? But through knowledge, the righteous escape. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. We certainly want to reach the folks in the cities and towns, especially where I'm at, Cedar Rapids. We're part of a group up there that we reach out to the city. We pray for homes. We pray for individuals by name to lead them to Christ. So it's very important to be able to reach them. So what wisdom can be gleaned from Proverbs concerning that speech and language? I want to cover first some negative things that we will find. The first thing that I found is destructive speech is lying. Lying is an abomination to the Lord. So what I want to do is have you flip over to Proverbs 12:22. Proverbs 12:22. It says, the Lord detests lying lips. But I like the second part. But he delights in people who are trustworthy. Anyone else delight in trustworthy people? What about at home? Yes, right. In your church, in your family, right? Lying lips, lying tongue, bearing false witness even, right? That's against the law to bear false witness, right? And so by a show of hands, how many people enjoy being lied to? Boy, that's a surprise. No one wants to be lied to. I can tell you, if you want to ruin a relationship or your marriage or any kind of connection at all, just say a lie. If you say more of those two or three to them, it's going to end the relationship, won't it? Has anyone had that happen in their life? If you've lived long enough, you know people who lie, and you just can't be around them because you can't trust them. What they say is not worthy of even listening to. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times, as a leader of the church and a leader in the world out there, I've learned that if I believe someone is telling a lie, you know what all I have to do? All I have to do is start asking questions. Start drilling down a little bit. And generally what happens is the person starts getting upset right away. Why are you asking me questions? Why would you need to know that? Don't they? And a lot of times lying is fueled by that hatred that then comes out. And to be honest with you, I learned as a child when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, lying leads to other lies, doesn't it? Ever watched VeggieTales? Yeah, the Fibberoo. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and on and on and on it goes. And it's so hard to try to remember all of those lies that you've told to cover up the other ones. Isn't that true? It's true. Been through it myself. Now, the second part of destructive speech is flattery. And I'll be honest, sometimes we have that in church, right? Sometimes flattery. Insincere compliments, but deceitful praise to win another's favor, to manipulate others, right? Have you seen that? Maybe you've even seen that in the workplace. Proverbs 29:5, listen to what that says. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. Spreading nets for their feet. Often used effectively by the adulteress and temptress in the Bible as well. Proverbs, this is 7:21, I'll read this for you. With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. So in the Bible, it talks about truly evil women enticing men with speech. So lying, flattery, those things can be destructive, can't they, in our relationships, especially in the church. I know leaders, we guard for those things, don't we? If we see lies or we hear of things, we're quick to respond and say, hey, can I just sit and talk with you? Right? Not demeaning or anything like that, but to approach it in a loving manner to a brother or sister in Christ to say, hey, is everything okay? You know, I don't know what's going on in your life, but fill me in. You know, we love you. We want to take care of you. We want to make sure that things are going well with you. So being honest with one another is very, very important. Using discernment in what we say is biblical, isn't it? Using wise words. I've had friends come up to you and say, Pastor, your tie doesn't really exactly match your suit coat. You know that, right? Your socks aren't matching your handkerchief, right? Have you heard things like that? Sometimes people will say things to kind of flattery, to trying to get an edge up, but that doesn't really work. So as Christians, we want to be smart with our speech. And the third thing that's destructive in the church, and this one, honestly, if you're outside of the church, you hear this more than any other. Can anyone take a guess at it? Starts with a G. Gossip. You got it. That gossip word referred to the church often, and I don't know why. It's also known as slander, or sometimes they're called whisperers in the church. Those who betray friendship, right? They find out information, and what do they do with it? They spread it, and they share it. Leaders, what happens if you're spreading information that you should be keeping to yourself? What happens as a leader? You lose your credibility, right? Yeah, certainly. And friendships within the church. I know for the church, we are a family of followers of Christ, aren't we? And so when we get family members, we do at times share intimate things with one another. And how crucial and how important is it that we keep those things in confidence? It's very important, isn't it? Very important. I've known people that have left the church because someone has broken that confidence and told someone else, and then they hear about it, and so it's very difficult. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. And I'm going to read Proverbs 26 with you. Proverbs 26, I hear your pages turning, so I'm going to slow down a little bit. Proverbs 26. This is verses 20 through 22. And I think these are great. Proverbs 26, 20 through 22. It says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. It affects people deep down inside when they're betrayed, when that gossip goes out. And it takes a long time. I've heard of people being out of the church for over 10 years because someone said something to someone else. And boy, those kind of things keeping people away from the church for that long amount of time is pretty bad, isn't it? Satan uses that stuff, doesn't he? Words. Yeah. James Lowell said this, blessed are they who have nothing to say and who cannot be persuaded to say it. I'm going to say that again. Blessed are they who have nothing to say and who cannot be persuaded to say it. They just let it go, right? Sometimes silence is the best answer. So the fourth type of speech found in warning from the Lord in Proverbs is cursing. Cursing. You don't often hear that in the church. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Proverbs 20:20. It says, if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Children, did you hear that? Someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Such a person's lamp would soon be put out to darkness. Under the law of Moses, you know what, children? If you cursed and did those things in the Old Testament, it wasn't good. It was death back then. You didn't want to do that. You mentioned James chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. This is verses 3 through 12. It talks about the mouth and the tongue, and I'm sure that a lot of you have heard these verses before, but they definitely need to be repeated. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 12. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. How much does a horse weigh? Anyone have any idea? I asked my wife that question. They're large, like over 1,000 pounds, I'm sure, right? Depends on the horse, because some are a lot bigger. Clydesdales, they're huge. But that little bit in the mouth can turn the whole body of that animal. Just the whole body, how it can persuade. And then take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. A huge ship. And then likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts, doesn't it? Consider when a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. That's pretty big speech. That's from the book of James. And then verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That tongue can be brutal, can't it? Anyone ever been cut by someone? Almost feels like physically when they say a word. I have. Recently, especially in the school system. There are teenagers here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Even middle schoolers understand some of the language and some of the things that people say to hurt you, to make you look worse, or to make them look better, right? Those words can be cutting. And then verse 9 in chapter 3. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings, and this is important, who have been made in God's likeness. You ever think about that? The person in the car in front of you who won't get out of your way? The words or the thoughts that go into your mind? What is the matter with them, right? That person in front of you is made in God's likeness, right? God has been working on my heart, teaching me patience. Well, I was in the store this week. I went to Walmart. Yes, I did. And there was a long line. And the guy behind me and the people in front of us, I don't know what happened. There were multiple issues that came up with their order. And I'm standing there, and I'm actually working retail part-time as well. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this poor person working there has this long line, and I'm right next to the register, and it comes to a screeching halt. Who else gets that all the time? It goes, yeah. So I'm like, all right, the Lord's teaching me patience. I'm just going to stand here. I'm gonna be nice. I'm going to do as the Word of God tells me to do. I'm going to be patient here. And the guy behind me, he looks at me and he says, you know, this is happening because of me. He said, every time I get in the line, it slows down. Every time I get right next to the register, it comes to a screeching halt. He said, so it's my fault. I said, no, no, on contrary. I said, it's me. God's teaching me patience right now. He just looked at me and smiled. But God can do great things. He's teaching us patience, right? In difficult situations, when we want to respond with words or respond, you know, with that heat that tends to rise, right, in our minds. And I've got to get there right now. Who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when it comes to your timing being right where you need to be at the right time? Who's that? The Lord himself, right? He goes before us. He goes with us. He goes behind us, right? That's God. That's the God of the Bible. So don't worry about your timing so much. Do your best, of course, to be there on time and those kind of things, especially when the weather gets bad, right? Make sure you start up your car early, right? Heat it up and then be on your way and make sure you have plenty of time to get there. I'm going to continue in verse 10 here. It says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And then it says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Cursing of the tongue to me is like an ashtray in the mouth. That's an ugly picture, isn't it? It's quite unbearable to the person observing. Would you agree? As Christians, it just quenches the spirit. It does. I have a good friend of mine. I want to share a quick story. He's in the Army Reserves with me, and we had just gotten to this National Guard post in North Dakota, by the way, and it was January, which was fun. But when we got there, we were inside the barracks, and I came over, and I'm like, Andrew, how you doing? Great to see you. I'm glad to see that you made it okay, a brother in Christ. Matter of fact, a pastor as well, part-time. And give him a big handshake and a brotherly hug. And then this young man comes over. He says, how the bl are you guys? I hate this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh. And I was just stunned because of the language. Every other word was an explicative word coming out. And I was just, and my friend Andrew, he's sitting on his bunk and he says, you're making my ears bleed. I'd never heard that before. He said, you're making my ears bleed. He said, can you please stop talking like that or I'm going to have to ask you to go to some other place. And as I stood there, I'm like, what a great response. He didn't respond with any kind of swearing or anger, but he spoke truth. He said, I can't be around that. And I remember that thinking about that afterwards. I thought, man, you know what it was when it kind of put me into that shock, that moment of just almost took my breath away. He was quenching the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within me. And I had never experienced that before. But that's the kind of things that we do when we respond with words. And what about with anger, right? That kind of goes along with it. And I know men, we're built to respond, right? And to help and to fix, right? And be there for our loved ones. But controlling that anger and controlling our words is so crucial to our testimony. So, so very, very crucial. So I made a short list of things that we should think twice about before we say. All right, I picked out four. I actually had a list of 10 initially, but I broke it down to the top four. You should not say this without thinking twice. I'll try anything once. Have you ever said that before? I'll try anything once. As you jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. I actually had this experience with hot sauce. I was visiting relatives in Kentucky. Some of you might have done that. I'll give me a little bit of that. I'll try it. And honestly, they had a little cracker there, and I put just a little bit of this. It was almost clear. Hot sauce on the cracker, and I put it in my mouth. And my mouth burned for the next hour. I'm eating bread and trying to drink something and trying to go it away, but don't think twice before you say that. I'll try anything once. The next one is, why don't you just stay for dinner? And the caveat behind that is, without asking your spouse first. Just stay for dinner. You better check with the spouse first. The third one, if worse comes to worse, you can just use mine. How many guys have done that and never gotten the tool back? Right? If worse comes to worse, you can use mine. And the last one, which happens to be my favorite, over my dead body you will. What does that do when you say that statement? Think twice before you say that. Matter of fact, you probably shouldn't say that. When you're doing it, you're drawing a line in the sand, aren't you? And a lot of times that leads to what? Fights, right? Just, you know, it's going to lead to something that's not good. It's just not good to do. But there are good things, okay, to learn from Proverbs. We've looked at some of the bad things, some of the things that we want to avoid, right? And so hopefully you're taking some of those and putting those in your mind and your heart to remember for later. But let's look at some constructive things, some good things. And the first one I found is good words. Good words should come out of our mouths, right? It should be a given for us as Christians. Proverbs 10, verse 11. Proverbs 10, 11 says this, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Isn't that awesome? The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So use pleasant words. And then Proverbs 16:24, it says, gracious words are a honeycomb. You might have heard this before. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I like that verse. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's a depth of healing, isn't it? All the way down into the bones, right? Love that one. Proverbs 12:25, comforting words. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. I was going through a situation in my life. Jennifer and I were married about 8 years at the time, and we were going through a difficult time in our marriage, in our families. And I remember getting together with a brother in Christ. He happened to be our youth pastor. We were youth sponsors at the time. And we got together and he said such wise, comforting, and good words to me. He said, you know, Phil, I know it's difficult right now and you don't know, you know, why these things have happened and what's next and where you're going. He said, but I can guarantee that right now God has you right where he wants you to be at just the right time. Anyone there right now? You're like, what is going on? What? And he was right. I can testify by what God has done in my life that he was absolutely correct, kind, and good in his words when he said that. So if God has you in a place right now where it's very difficult, I'm telling you, he's right there with you. And he has you right in the right place at just the right time right now. And he'll use what you're going through right now for good, right? Romans chapter 8 talks about that. God works, and you might know this verse, works all things for good. For whom? For those who love him. Yeah, and for those who, according to his purposes, right? And that's you. If you're a Christian, if you're following Christ and doing his will with the life that he's given to you, right? It's really his life, isn't it? So as he molds you, as he shapes you, you're going to be refined by some fire, brothers and sisters. Can anyone testify? Just listen to a song this morning that talked about that. He's making diamonds out of us. He's making diamonds out of us. That's what God is doing. So praise God for those times when it's difficult. You have to praise him during those difficult times. And praise him when you come to the other side too, right? Amen? Because there will be. Eventually, for sure, we have a kingdom ahead of us, right? Eternity with the Lord, right? Amen? And I'm looking forward to that. And the next one, timely words. First one was good words. The second one are timely words. And I mentioned that a moment ago, but listen to what it says in Proverbs 15:23. It says a person finds joy in giving an aptly reply or an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? There's another verse, Titus, Timothy, for leadership in particular, for us as leaders of the church, right? Be quick to listen and slow to speak, right? Think through those words, what you're going to say, especially in difficult situation. Proverbs 15, this is verse 28, right behind 23, says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You ever see someone serving Satan with their mouth? What happens? The mouth just gushes. You've seen it, I'm sure. I've seen it on TV recently even. Well, the political things going on, and I'm not saying one part or the other, but the stuff I've seen, I'm like, what is going on? Just spewing from their mouths hatred toward other people, toward other Christians even, right? You don't know if they're a Christian, Democrat, Republican. They're Christian, right? They're made in God's likeness, right? Those are the same people. So when you talk about them or talk to them, think, right? And then speak, because we can build them up. We can come together. We can do great things, can't we? I've seen it in the church. I've talked with your pastors in this church, and they're always amazed. They're like, yeah, we're in this awesome building. And each part, as it got paid off and taken care of, and we built on, and you have an amazing, beautiful facility here. God has certainly blessed this place, and he continues to bless you and use you. Very excited for this church. So quick to listen, slow to speak. And then the third and last one, controlled words. I just mentioned that a moment ago. Controlled words benefit you, but also benefit others. Have you ever been the recipient of, well, not using wise words or controlled words? What happens in response from other people? Usually anger, right? They're upset at us for saying or doing things. You ever say the wrong words in the church? I have. If I'm being honest, I have said things that have hurt people. I have said things that I didn't mean to. Or I've said things even to a deacon chair, an elder in the church one time. I said the wrong words, and his response was immediately. You know, and so I knew. I'm like, oh, that didn't come out right. And so I'm like, let me rephrase that, right? Time out. Let me. I can't take the words back, but listen, let me explain to you. And that's what happened. How important is that in the church to be able to do that? It's crucial. It's very important that we're able to give each other grace initially, right? And then to work through things. Because God uses those things, doesn't he? He certainly does. Proverbs 13:3, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Right? Some of you have a spouse who's good at holding their words. Now, could you raise your hand and acknowledge them? You have a spouse? I have a spouse that is good like that. She's really good about thinking before she's speaking. I'm the passionate one, right? Where a lot of times I'll say something like, oh, hold up. So I always have to doubly making sure I'm doing the right things. But we can avoid much harm to ourselves and others by saying words and guarding our tongue and allowing God to give us the words to say sometimes, right? I know there's been a lot of moms out there that have said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. There's wisdom in that, isn't there? It's truth and good. But we can do much good to ourselves and with others by using good words. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your conversation, in other words, your speech, be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, meaning preservative qualities to build people up, so that you may know how to answer everyone, meaning answering with goodness as Jesus would do. And isn't that what we want to do? If we're responding with someone, let's respond as Jesus would respond, patiently, right? Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only those who are helpful to build others up. And that's a revised version from Awana's. Anyone work in Awana's with little children? Yeah. Sometimes they take those verses and they make them shorter so that kids can memorize them better. So that's the one I have in my mind. Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, except that which is building up of others. So very, very important. So I'm going to close with a slide. I couldn't find the author on this, but it's very wise. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like the wise old bird? Quick to listen, slow to speech, and then when we do speak, let those words be peppered with grace and love and goodness. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you this morning for your message from Proverbs. So, so wise, these words that you gave to Solomon. He's the man who prayed for wisdom, and Lord, you gave it to him abundantly. And as I was looking back and thinking, he wrote these words for his children that they might prosper and do well and serve the Lord. And so, God, I pray that for the folks who are in their twilight years, Lord, that they would continue to share these kind of things with the younger people, the boomers and even the millennials, even the children today, Lord. I would pray that their words would be uplifting. God, that they would serve you, that they would know you, and that they would be grown up in such a way, Lord God, that they would be able to reach out to others with their words, Father, with your kind words that you give to them to grow the kingdom of heaven. Father, we could have some evangelists right in this room, Lord. Children growing up to be pastors, growing up to be leaders and teachers, Lord, in the church of the future. And so I pray, Father, that you would help us to continue to grow them, to teach them. And Father, I thank you for this place, for this church. And I pray for Pastor Mathan and his family, Lord, that you would continue to give them rest, that you would recoup them. And Father, that their time would be so good, that they would just come back energized and, Father, desiring even more to serve you and to serve the people, the family that you have brought into this place, Lord God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are, for your goodness and your love and your grace that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, first and foremost. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.